So for this week, we begin a brand new topic, the mitzvah of bris milah. And we begin with the chiyuv of the father's obligation in bris milah. The way the Sefer HaChinuch words it, when he introduces the mitzvah, he first tells us a little bit about how it's done. He talks about milah, he talks about milah versus priya, which is sort of an interesting topic, but I don't usually go into it as an inyan, because unless you're a moel, it doesn't have such practical relevance in terms of milah versus priya. It is interesting, though, because it's relevant to the distinction between the mitzvah that we have, what happens with Yishmael, what is the mitzvah of B'nai Keturah. It's interesting, though, certainly also in terms of the theoretical issues that it raises. Nonetheless, the main point that I want to address today is the question of who carries the obligation of the bris milah for a child. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, if you flip onto page Ches, the second paragraph there, Beno Heges. Okay, he says, Beno Heges b'chol makom u'b'chol zman. Right? Oh, the old edition. Wow. Women are not obligated in the bris of their sons. It's because of a Gemara and Kiddushin, which we'll see momentarily. Rather, the father is obligated. And in the event that there is no father, it refers to the Beis Din. Raises certain questions. What about Sipora, for example, and what she does? Can a woman be a mohelet, so to speak? But also issues, interesting issues, which we may get to, but not tonight. How do I know that there's a mitzvah for the father in particular to give the bris milah to his son? Well, for one thing, if you look in the Torah, Hashem tells Abraham, do the bris milah for your kids, and Yilibayis, anyone born into the household, from which we understand, that includes an eved. But if you take a look on the sheets, you see the Mishnah and Kiddushin. The Mishnah and Kiddushin, it's a Gemara and Kiddushin, I should say, details the father's obligations to his children. Ha'av chayav bibino lamulo v'lifdoso ulalamdo Torah ulasiyo isha ulalamdo umno. So father is obligated to give his kid a bris, to do pidyon ben as well, to teach him Torah, to teach him to marry him off, to teach him a trade. Lav davka in that order. The Rambam is famous for writing that the order should not follow the order of his Mishnah. Right? The Rambam says that you're supposed to follow the Seder HaMelchama when it lists the people who don't go to war. So get the order of who leaves the war. The first one is the one who planted a vineyard. He has a parnasa. The second one is the one who has a house. Has a house and hasn't dedicated it. And the third one is the one who married a woman. So the Rambam says that's what the order is supposed to be. The order is supposed to be you get a parnasa, you get a place to live, and then you get married. But that's not the order of this Mishnah. The Mishnah here presents Torah first, then marrying a woman, then learning a trade. The famous line about swimming, which I understand in Toronto is ice skating. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't teach your kid a trade, then you teach him to be a criminal. To which they ask, really? Listus akadaydach? You really think so? Ela ki ilu malamdo listus. No, it's as though you taught him to be a criminal. So lamolo, the Gemara says on this business about giving him a bris, Manolan, how do I know the father has the obligation to give the kid a bris? Dichsim, the pasuk says, Vayomal Avram as Yitzchak beno. Avram did the bris for Yitzchak. That's our paradigm. And if a father didn't do it, then the Beis Din has to do it. The pasuk says, give a bris to all males, but it's lachem for you, plural. That's the community represented by the Beis Din. So that, what if the Beis Din doesn't do it? Does that mean that everybody has a chiyuv to go running after him with a knife? No. He is obligated to give himself a bris. That if an RL doesn't get a bris, an RL is someone who's uncircumcised, if he doesn't get a bris, he will be cut off. How do you know that the mother has no chiyuv? Because it says that Abraham gave the bris to Yitzchak as Hashem had instructed him. So why did the Torah have to specify as Hashem had instructed him? Not her. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Rambam codifies this in the beginning of Hilchos Milah. And source number two, Mila mitzvahs asei shechayavan aleha kares. Mila is a mitzvahs asei for which the penalty for not doing it is kares. Doesn't mean for the father, it means for the son. The, as we'll see momentarily actually in the Rambam. The Rambam stresses that it's an asei with kares because that's unusual. Remember the Mishnah at the beginning of Krisis lists for us the cases for which you get kares, and all but two are losa aseis. There are 36 and they're all losa aseis, and then the other two are Carbon Pesach and Bris Milah. So the he says that it's a mitzvah with karis as the penalty, and he quotes you the pasuk Shnema Varel Zachar Sherlo Yimolus Pesaru Laso Benichrasa and Ebeshayim Amel. If he doesn't do the bris, then he gets cut off. Mitzvah Alav Lomoles Benov Alav Lomoles Avada Yilid Bayus Miknas Kesef. The mitzvah is for the father to give his kid a bris, for the master to give his eved a bris. If the father or master doesn't do it, the Velomal Osan didn't give them a bris, Bitel Mitzvah Sase, he violated the Mitzvah Sase, Ve'eno Chayim Kares, but he's not getting Kares. Sheina Kares, Taloi Eleva Arel Atzmo, because the Kares is specifically for the person who is personally uncircumcised. And Beizdin is supposed to take care of this and make sure that there are no Arelim around. That's Halacha Aleph in the Rambam. He then continues to say, this is an important point, number two, Ein malin beno shel adam el shalom idaito. You can't go circumcise somebody's kid without the father's knowledge. Ela im kein avar v'nimno lamolo, unless the father has actively refused to give him a bris. Shebez din malin osav al karacha, at which point Beis Din steps in and says, well, we're not going to listen to you, we'll give him a bris. Nisali mi Beis Din v'lo maluo. So, if for some reason Beis Din didn't get around to doing it, k'shi yigdol hu chayv lo malas atzmo, like we said in the Gemara, when he becomes an adult, he has to give himself a bris. B'chol yom v'yom sheyavor olav mi sheyigdol lo yom malas atzmo, haryu mevatel mitzvahs asei. If he becomes an adult and doesn't do this, he is violating an asei. Avol eno chayv kares at sheyamus v'hu arel b'meizid. However, the kid doesn't get kares unless he dies without fulfilling it. Because otherwise, maybe tomorrow he'll do it. Okay, that's the Rambam. Good. So I want to address two key questions about this. Number one, what happens between day 8 and when the child becomes an adult? Is the father still obligated at that point, or is the father's obligation give your kid a bris on day 8? The way that Hashem told him regarding Yitzhak, the pasuk we quoted was a Yitzhak pasuk, right? And for him it was day 8. So what happens after day 8 until the kid is bar mitzvah? That's number one. And then number two, what happens once the kid is already bar mitzvah? Does the father indeed have an obligation? Some practical applications. What happens if somebody else comes along and gives the kid a bris? It's ruled in Shulchan Aruch that if somebody takes my mitzvah away from me, I had an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and somebody steals it, that's right, he's got to pay me. So instead of me paying the mole's going to have to pay me. That's an application of this rule.
The question is, when is the over? Is the over at the 8th day?
Right.
The day that the day is done, the next day is the over.
Right.
And therefore, you can go ahead and mala him, or you give him a reasonable period of time.
Or
do you do it when the kid becomes 13? When is it done?
Right. So we have to understand this. Along the way, we'll also gain a little bit more insight into the status of the mother in terms of bris milah, and we'll also gain some insight into the relationship between the general obligation of give the kid a bris and the obligation of give the kid a bris before you bring your korban pesach. Because remember that the Torah says you can't do the Karban Pesach, there's an Arel in your household. So that's going to figure into this as well. So take a look, please, at source number 3, the Rambam in Hilchos Karban Pesach. The Rambam writes, Kashem Shemilas Atzmo Me'akav Do Milas Os Pesach. Just like the personal bris milah prevents him from doing the Karban Pesach, meaning if he doesn't have a bris, he can't bring his own carbon. Kach milas banav haktanim, so too the bris of his children who are minors. Umilas kol avadav, and the milah of his avadim, bein gedol and bein ketanim, whether adults or minors. Makemas also prevents him from doing a carbon pesach. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, he mol lo kol zahar, first do a bris for all the males, v'az yikrav laso so. And then he can do the carbon pesach. So, the Rambam writes explicitly, your kids who are ketanim need to have a bris. So, is that 8 days or more than 8 days?
Seems to be more.
Ketanim should be more than 8 days, no? It's as long as they're minors. Right? The Rambam seems to be saying that my obligation as the father is as long as they are ketanim. That's the way it sounds. The Minchas Chinuch quotes this and says, sounds like it to me. If you're using a Minchas Chinuch, if you look on page Ches, in the older editions, I'm not sure what the page number would be, but it starts with Hine, it's the beginning of the paragraph. We're looking on page Ches on the fourth paragraph down. I would share with you, but I had onions for dinner. I don't want to go there. The Hine, Rambam Perek Hei Mekorban Pesach Halacha Hei Kasa V'Zeh Lashon. Now when he quotes that line from the Rambam, you see that? The next couple of lines are just the verbatim Rambam. And he writes, Mavur Bidvarav. He says it is clear in his word, Mavur Bidvarav Lahedya, it's explicit in his word, the Danka Milas Banabakhtanim Ma'kevas Oso, that it's specifically the Mila of his kids who are minors, right? Not the ones who are adults, but the ones who are minors. Karva Hatam came in the mitzvahs and all of Ma'akam Oso, and it must be, I'm just going to hit the door, it must be that it's because the obligation is upon him to give them a bris. That's why he can't bring a Karban Pesach unless he has it, right? So Minchas Chinuch asks a couple of questions. First of all, he says, I don't understand where you got this from. Jumping to the next paragraph, it starts with the word ach lefi zeh.
But it says what about the Ben?
Yeah. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit when we start talking about the ones who are over 13. But the straightforward answer is that the avadim are dependent on you, whether they're adults or minors. Whereas the kids who are already adults are, you know, they have their own family. So that would be the distinction. We're actually going to come back to that when we talk about what about your kid who's an adult. So the Minchas Chinuch asked, "Ach lepizeh kashali." But based on this, I have a problem. He says, "Demikra zed devayom al Avraham lamukach el deminas shmini mutal alaviv." He says this pasuk of "and Avraham gave his kid a bris" was only evidenced to us that the eighth day bris is the one that's the father's obligation. He'll say, "Ben shmonas yamim," like the pasuk says, that day eight. Aval mila shelo bismana, but mila outside of the proper time. Even when the kid is still a minor, lo muchach mehaikra, is not at all clear from that pasuk. Im kein eich kasav demilas bana baketanim, denira dafilu ketanam achas manam ma'afiv. So why did the Rambam write? Minors. So he brings an interesting answer from the Gemara in Yevamah. Let's take a look, please, at source number 4 with an important Gemara. It's going to come into play a couple of times today. The Gemara says, Bishlama avada mishkachas ladi isnu bishas achila valasnu bishas asiya kigon dezavnin hu beni beni. The Gemara talks about the case of an eved or a child who is your responsibility, who is exempt from mila on the morning of Erev Pesach, and at the time that you do the Korban Pesach in the afternoon, but that night, when it comes time to eat the Korban Pesach, is obligated in Bris Mila. The Gemara wants to come up with a case where you wouldn't have the obligation when you actually do the Korban Pesach, so you do the Korban Pesach 100% fine, and then that night, suddenly you have somebody on your hands who's supposed to have a Bris Mila. A rather tricky case. And the Gemara bends over backwards trying to come up with just practical circumstances that will meet that. So he says, Bishlama avadim, you can have it with avadim. The mishkachla, the isnu b'shas achila, v'lesnu b'shas asiya. You can have a case in which you didn't have the eved when you prepared the Korban Pesach. You bought the eved in the afternoon, after you had already done the Korban Pesach. Ela zecharav, the isnu b'shas achila, v'lesnu b'shas asiya, hechi mishkachla. But how do you have a male son who was obligated in Bris Mila that night, and he wasn't earlier that day? How's that going to happen? Lav the isulet bein asiya la achila shmamin arelus shalav is mana havi arelus. He says, "Is it? Are we talking about a case in which the kid was actually born that evening? Okay, the baby boy was born that evening after you prepared the Korban Pesach, and you're telling me that this man is ineligible for the Korban Pesach, even though his kid is not yet old enough for a bris? Is that your case? No. Amar Rava. Rava says, 'Vitisbra.' Is that logical?" The pasuk says, "Himo lo kol zachar amar rachmana." The pasuk says, "Do the bris on your males, and then you can bring the carbon pesach." V'ayla bar mehilahu. You don't have the option of doing a bris on this kid. He's underage. If you do a bris on a kid who's 3 days old, you know what you've done? Chavala. Right? That's what you've done. That you haven't done a bris milah. Rather, what's the case? He must have been ill that day. He really should have had a bris that morning. He was exempt because he had a fever. The fever let go, and then that night he's now eligible for the carbon pesach. It's Billy Rubin count, right? That's what we're talking about.
At night you can't be malam either. I mean, and it's also younger. It's
not right.
So wouldn't you have to get better right before night? In other words, after the time of shechita, between the time of shechita and night, I guess you have to come better, at least out of shechita.
Yeah. There's a further problem, and that's, I put an ellipsis here. I didn't bother to quote all the wording, but the whole discussion of once he becomes healthy, do you wait another 8 days? Do you do it right away? The Rava ended up giving me a different answer. Rava Amar Kigon Chayu of the Himo Chavushim Beveso Asurin. The father and mother were practically ineligible. They were in jail, and they couldn't do it, and now they got out. They were let loose to eat the Karban Pesach, and now they find out they have a bris that they were supposed to have done. But you're right, there's a whole issue of not doing the bris mila at night. True.
How are they manuing on the Karban? I mean, when you're in jail.
Right, well, they could be money in jail. We're going to come back to that. Yes, we'll come back to that. Good catch. But the point for right now is only this. How old is this kid that night?
He must be a
Bar Chiyuv. He's a Bar Chiyuv already that day, which means tonight he's already 9 days old.
Right.
9 days, right?
And yet you're telling me it's the parents' obligation. So the Menchas Chinuch quotes this, and you can take a look in source number 5.
They have an obligation. In other words, other people knew about it. Maybe the Nachmin is that you want to give the parents the obligation, but they weren't. You know that they aren't able to do it, but if you know that they're going to get out the same night, maybe the obligation still belongs to them.
But the obligation that night should no longer belong to them if you believe that the obligation disappears after day 8.
So
it should terminate there. From the fact that you bring this case in the Gemara, and they bring it also in the Rambam in source number 5, I'm not going to read it through, it's the same thing. The point is only that it demonstrates...
But the lotion of the Rambam says that if the father, mind you, it says, Ovar Ahav, doesn't mean Barotzen or Ba'ainis. Maybe there's an argument between Barotzen and Ainis.
Right, but it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of the fact that we're considering him obligated at all. Where did his obligation come from?
We already established that he does have an obligation.
Only on day 8.
On day 8.
We're asking what happens after day 8. The pasuk for Avraham was only on day 8.
Right.
But this Gemara, by telling me that day 8 was Erev Pesach, right, and Pesach night he's still considered obligated to the extent that he can't bring the Korban Pesach, that means his obligation extends after day 8. His obligation continues to day 9. Otherwise, he should be able to bring the Karban Pesach. Yes, he blew his opportunity. That's true. But it's over. He had a chance to do a bris milah for his kid. He didn't do it. Okay. But that's ancient history by the time he did day 9. So should this prove that the father is obligated even after day 8? The answer is not necessarily. The Menchas Chinuch says yes. The Menchas Chinuch says, we identify your obligation for the purposes of Karban Pesach with your general obligation. In other words, if I was not obligated to give my kid a bris in general, I would be eligible to bring the Karban Pesach. Let me say it the reverse, because the reverse may actually be clearer. The fact that I'm ineligible for the Karban Pesach shows that I have a general obligation of bris for my child. That's the Menchas Chinuch statement. Even though Karban Pesach is one narrow area of halacha, nonetheless, we're going to apply it from Karban Pesach to bris milah in general. Just like he's disqualified for the Karban Pesach, so too he's obligated in giving his kid a bris in general. The Tzitz Eliezer says it's not true. And he picks up on the point that you grabbed here. He says, go back and look in your Gemara. Your Gemara, in source number 4, said explicitly, Kigon, Rava's answer was, Kigon shahayu aviv v'imo chavushim v'eso asurin. The father and mother were in jail. Says the Maharsha, what are you talking about? What mother? Mothers aren't obligated in bris milah. Didn't we say that at the beginning? So the Maharsha says, guess what? A woman doesn't have a general mitzvah of bris milah for her kid, but she does have it for Korban Pesach. She is not able to eat the Korban Pesach unless all of her kids, that for whom she's obligated, have a bris. So the Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, quotes that and says, you see, you can't necessarily link obligation vis-a-vis Korban Pesach to obligation for bris in general. Not only that, he says, I'll prove it to you. Look at the pasuk that the Rambam quoted. When the Rambam quoted in source number 5, this mitzvah of make sure you give your kid a bris or else you're not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, in the beginning of source number 5, he said, K'shem shemilas bana v'avada me'akavta milishkot ha-pesach, just like the milah of his kids and his servants keeps him from bringing the Korban Pesach, kach me'akavta milech also too, it keeps him from eating it. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, umalta oso, you will give him a bris, az yochal bo, and then you can eat. So take a look. Take a look at source number 6, the context from which the pasuk comes, and the pasuk of Himolo calls Achar, which we brought in the Gemara in source number 4. The pasuk says, "V'chiyagoritcha ger, a stranger lives among you, v'asa pesach l'Hashem, and he decides he's going to bring a Korban Pesach. Okay, you have a ger toshav. He says, I'm going to bring a Korban Pesach. Himolo calls Achar, guess what? He needs a bris. And all males of his need a bris. It's not a ger toshav, it's a ger tzedek. And then he will come to bring the Korban Pesach. He'll be like any other citizen of the land. And no arel may eat from it. Who are the kids who he's going to give a milah to? When you say himo lo kol zachar, who's getting a bris here? It's his children, right? But he converted. Who has children? He doesn't have any halachic children. He has people who are affiliated with his family. So he does not have a paternal obligation to do the bris. He doesn't have a master obligation. They're not his avadim. And yet, in order to bring the Korban Pesach, he still has to do the bris. So that since Eliezer establishes on this basis, on the basis of this source here, the fact that the Gemara used this pasuk, and for the mention of the mother, that there are actually two separate obligations when it comes to the Korban Pesach, when it comes to bris milah. Number one, I have an obligation to make sure my kid gets a bris. That's a general out there obligation. Possibly up to day 8, possibly beyond. Separate from that, I have an obligation that all male members of my household have a bris in order for me to bring the Korban Pesach. That obligation is not only on the father, it's also on the mother. And it's also on the ger with his kids who converted to Judaism as well.
And it's past day 8.
And it's past day 8. That's correct. You see what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Very sharp. Very sharp. Well, let's say your obligation continues after day 8, because in fact that's what we hold. That the obligation continues all the way until he becomes an adult. So now we have to ask the follow-up question. What happens when he becomes an adult? What do we do now? Are you still obligated to give the kid a bris, or does your obligation as a father end? The child is now an adult in his own right, and it's his problem. Take a look, please, at source number 7. One from the Yerushalmi. V'chol eved ish miknas kasef. The pasuk says, any eved of somebody who has been purchased, so avdecha ish at mo'alo al korcho, your eved, who is a man, you give him a bris, even if he doesn't want it, that's his own discussion. You can't compel an eved to become Jewish. However, if he wants to stay with you, he's going to have to start the geirus process, which includes bris milah. That's the eved. Bincha ish, but when your child is an adult, you cannot give him a bris against his will. There's a debate between the Moshe and the Korban Ha'eda, the two classic commentaries on the Yerushalmi, as to what this line means. The Pnei Moshe says it means you can't force a bris on somebody else's son, which is probably good advice in general. The Korban Ha'eda says no. It refers to your son. Sorry? Yeah. He says it's your son. And when your son becomes a gadol, at that point your obligation is gone. And therefore you have no right to compel him to have a bris. You have no standing any more than some stranger does. As your teenage son will remind you on many issues. You don't have the ability to tell him what to do. And therefore, at that point, your chiyuv is over. The Yerushalmi, based on that Karban HaEda, says very clearly that your obligation ends once your child is 13. Is this in fact what we hold? Well, the Rambam presents us with multiple approaches. If you take a look back at source number 2, the second paragraph, it sounds like the obligation ends. Right, the second paragraph there in source number 2. Ein molin b'no shel adam shalom yidaito. Right, we said you can't give him a bris against his will. Elam kein avar v'nimna l'molu, unless he... you can't give someone's son the bris without the father's knowledge and consent, unless the father has refused to do it. Shebeisim molin osav al karcho, and Beisim will step in. Nis'alim beisim v'lo molu oso, and if Beisim doesn't do it, kishe yigdal, when he becomes an adult, he has to circumcise himself. It makes it sound like at that point the father exits stage left.
Or you can say that, well, you don't necessarily understand that because it says that the father refused to do it.
Right. So this is not ironclad.
Yeah.
That's correct. This is not ironclad. It's an indication. The Rambam's comment in his Parash HaMishnayos goes both ways, or could be read either way. Take a look, please, at source number 8. He says, "Umashet tzarich lahazgir kan shem aver adam v'lo malas b'no o yilid beiso." He says, "We have to mention here is the following: if a man didn't give a bris to his son or to some born in his ass as an eved, v'chom al olav bayom hashmini, he had mercy on him on day 8 and said, 'I can't do it.' He has trespassed a great and serious mitzvah, the likes of which doesn't exist among all the other mitzvahs. And you can't make that up. It's worse than if you didn't make a sukkah. You didn't eat matzah on Pesach. He says it's a terrible, terrible thing. This is why I get very frustrated. I was called up by children of a family from Allentown. They lived in an area of Brooklyn where there weren't a lot of Jews. It's true, there is such a thing. The Moel, who they contacted, they had a bris that had to be on the first day of Pesach. That was just the way it fell out. They weren't a particularly observant family. And the Moel said, "That's all right, we'll just wait till Chol HaMoed." He didn't want to make the schlep over there for to do it that day, do it on day 8. What are you talking about? Look at the language of the Rambam. You can't do that. You can't just delay. Give him the riot act. Ela Shim calls Elo Niftar Min HaMitzvah. However, even if you do miss day 8, that doesn't mean the mitzvah's over. Ela Adayin Hu Mitzuva Umechuyev Lamolo Tamid. But he is instructed still to give him the bris eternally. And as long as he hasn't done so, he's violating mitzvah say. The time is there. And if he gave him the bris, then the avera is gone, and he fulfilled the mitzvah. And so too, anybody who sees that the kid is an arel, he's not limiting it to Beis Din. It's a free for all. The v'lo malo and doesn't do it. Hareize over al mitzvah sasei. Achi yamol oso ki ilu ubeno, until he gives him a bris like he's his own son. Vim gadol ha'yelid v'igia l'chal onshim, and if the kid becomes an adult and reaches the age of penalty, nistalig achiyuv me'akol adam, achiyuv is gone from everybody else. V'nischayev hu amolas asmo miyad, and he has his own obligation. So what's the Rambam's view as to what happens at age 13?
Parenthesis, l'chol onshim means 13 or 20.
I'm assuming 13. Basin waits till 20, but then they'll punish you from 13.
It says, achiv mal kol adam. Who's it referring? Is it just referring to everybody other than his father?
Right. So if you read the last line.
Or even his father.
Well, even the father. Right. That's what
right.
It comes down to.
The last line sounds like everybody's obligation other than his own ends at age 13.
Right, including the father.
However, go back a couple of lines. He said, "Adayinu mitzuva umechuyev lomolo tamid." He always has a mitzvah eternally. The mitzvah is forever. Forever doesn't end when your kid turns 13.
Forever, continuously,
right?
Ongoingly.
What would I have thought
at
otherwise?
Any given time.
As opposed to what I would have thought. What does that mean? And it's not true all the time because you can't do it at night. So what are we talking about here?
Maybe Mel Cologne doesn't mean everybody other than the father. Because if you look at the context, it's talking about where the father doesn't do it, everyone else is responsible to do it, right? But once he grows up, that chiv goes away. So maybe it's in the context of other people as opposed to his father.
Maybe. Eliezer Waldenberg gives you two suggestions. First, he gives you one and he's going to reject it, but let's try it anyway. He says maybe the father's obligation is only until the kid matures, like that line at the end, right? And then it's gone. However, that doesn't change the fact that he said, "Humitzuva umuchiyav lamolo tamid." He is obligated eternally for the kid to have a bris. His obligation of make sure your kid has a bris remains. He's just incapable of fulfilling it once the kid turns 13. At that point, the obligation goes to the kid. It's sort of like what we said with Puravu last week, right? Or a couple weeks ago, that a ger who converts with children already is exempt from Puravu. Not because he has fulfilled the mitzvah, but because the obligation is no longer upon him. The father has not fulfilled his mitzvah of circumcising the kid, but his chance to fulfill it is gone. That's his first suggestion. The problem is that it's not what the Rambam said. If you really want to follow the Rambam's language, he said, "Mechuyav lo molo tamid." He has an eternal obligation to give him a bris. He didn't say he has an eternal obligation that his kid should have a bris. So he gives you a second suggestion. The second suggestion is that the Rambam believes that the father is obligated even when the kid grows up. His point about nistali gachiv me'al kol adam, right, that the chiv is gone from everybody, means all those other people who happen to see the kid and realize he's missing a bris, but not the father. The Rishonim go both ways. The Rashbah says, regarding Pinyon HaBen, he was asked about how long the father is obligated in Pinyon HaBen. And he says that Pinyon does not end when the child reaches adulthood. And it sounds like he's referring to all the obligations in that Mishnah and Kiddushin. Not just Pinyon HaBen, but in general, all obligations are forever. So that bris should also be forever. On the other hand, the Sefer HaChinuch that we read before, right, says minors. His language was, I brought it here on the sheet for you in source number 9 on the flip side, Dinei HaMitzvah, the laws of the mitzvah, al mi mutal as milas hakatanim, regarding whom there is an obligation to give a bris milah to the minors, but he stresses katanim, minors. So which is it? So the Minchas Chinuch brings a couple of attempts to prove which way we rule on this. Fascinating. Number one, he says, go back to that Mishnah in Kiddushin, to the Brisa in Kiddushin, source number one. Look at the cases that we brought. Look at the father's obligations. Okay? You see the father's obligations? Are those obligations for a minor? For a minor child?
Masi Yoisha, certainly.
One of those is to marry him off. So the Minchas Chinuch says, it doesn't sound like this is something that's only for a minor, right? We generally assume you're not supposed to marry off minors. The marriage certainly extends into his majority, and so do the other items on the list. He concedes this may be different, because since we use our model for bris milah is Avram's obligation to circumcise Yitzchak, in which he was a minor, maybe that one case really is different. However, he says, when you look at mitzvah shin etzani beis, did I bring it here on the sheet? Yes. Source number 10. He says, that seals the deal. He says that really seals the deal. It's the Sefer HaChinuch language in mitzvah shin etzani beis. Take a look, please. Source 10. Olafiyat dome, it appears to me, this mitzvah is the mitzvah pinyon haben. He says, it appears to me, Sha'av chayav la'olam livdos b'no, that a father is always obligated to redeem his kid. V'afilu acha she'hiyil ha'ben ha'mitzvah mutalas ala'av, even after the kid becomes an adult, the mitzvah is still incumbent on the father. It's not there, it's very clear. U'kmo shamar ha'kasev, as the Pasuk says, v'chol b'chor adam b'vanecha tivdeh, you shall redeem all of your firstborn. Harei she'hiyil ha'mitzvah la'av, so the mitzvah is on the father. V'chei nira v'kidushin, and so too, in the Gemara in Kiddushin, the mitzvah is for the father. So the Mechaber, the Sefer HaChinuch, in this discussion here, wasn't sure regarding Pidyon HaBen. The Pasuk was not minor specific. And he concluded it applies in adulthood. Well, certainly that's going to be true then regarding Bris Milah. So that's one proof that the Minchas Chinuch brings. But then he brings a second proof, which is fascinating. The Tosfos in Kiddushin is bothered. The Gemara discusses why a mother is not obligated in Bris Milah for her son. And the Gemara says, well, it's because I have a pasuk, right? Like we brought, Kasher Tziva Oso Elokim Oso Velo Osa. Hashem instructed him, not her. So Tosfos asks, why did I need a pasuk at all? Why didn't I say it's a mitzvah saseh she has man grama? Right? It's a time about mitzvah. Day 8. Take a look at Source 11. And this is going to lead us to a much better understanding of what mitzvah saseh she has man grama is really about. The Tosfos writes in Source 11, Ve'im Tomar, you might ask, Lama likra, who needs a pasuk? Oso, lo, osa. Typically, the mitzvah saseh she has man grama. Why not say it's a mitzvah saseh she has man grama, a time-bound active mitzvah? Shenimo b'shmini l'leidaso, to give him a bris on the eighth day. V'nashim b'tiros, and therefore women are exempt. The Yesh Lomar says you could say, kevin d'miyom hashmini v'hola in lahefsek la'z man grama. Since it starts on day eight and then continues ad infinitum, therefore it's not time-bound. Vim Tomer, but you might ask, Akadi mitzvah saseh shazman gromo dein molin ela b'yom, but still you only give a bris during the daytime. So therefore it is time bound. Kiddis of Erekar, all he quotes the Gemara on that. V'yesh lomer, you could say, da asik manda amar asam demila shlob esman, no hagis ben b'yom ben b'layla. Maybe this Gemara is following the view that you can do a bris at night also. So that's why he didn't call it time bound. So the Menachas Chinuch says, this seems to sound like the obligation is open-ended. Right? If the obligation is not, if the obligation ends when the kid becomes an adult, then I would go back to saying it's man grama. That's the Menachas Chinuch's approach. You follow what he's suggesting? Mrs. Eliezer trashes it with a new definition of how the laws of man grama work. He says, no. He says you have to understand what Zman Grama means. Zman Grama means that there's an objective time based on the earth and its position relative to the moon, right? And position of the moon relative to the earth. There are certain objective times when this mitzvah may be performed, and there are certain times when the mitzvah may not be performed. Here, it's not about an objective time, it's about this kid's age. This subjective kid's age. He says, let's say you had two sons who were born a couple of years apart, and the first one is now over 13, and the other one is under the age of 13. You wouldn't be able to do the bris for the older one, you'd be able to do the bris for the younger one. It's not that you are no longer able to do bris at this time, that you would say that's time bound, and now you're ineligible to do bris. No! It's a bris time, it's just not a bris time for him. That's not mitzvah saseh she has man grama. Time-bound mitzvahs means there's an objective time for this mitzvah to be performed, or a time when this mitzvah may not be performed. And he says, I'll give you a for instance. He says, look at Sfiras HaOmer. The Ramban in Kiddushin says Sfiras HaOmer is not zman grama. And everybody gets upset and says, what are you talking about? Of course Sfiras HaOmer is zman grama. You have a specific day. Right? You have to count it at this time. Of course it's Zman Grama Mitzvah. But he says, Waldenberg says, maybe not. He says, what is Sfiras HaOmer nowadays? Derais or Derabanan? Derabanan, correct. Why is it Derabanan nowadays? Because you don't have the Karban Omer anymore. Right? That's what makes it a Derabanan. That proves that Sfiras HaOmer is not really triggered by the time of day at all. It's triggered by the Karban. And therefore it's not Zman Grama. It's 49 days after you bring the Karban. Subjective time. Not the 16th of Nisan, the 17th of Nisan, the 18th of Nisan, which would be an objective time. You see what I'm saying? He says, Zman Grama means there's a date or there's a time period of light or dark, you know, or there's a certain hour of the day when this has to happen. Not if it's contingent on an event, the birth of the child, or contingent upon the bringing of a karban, that's not Zman Grama. That's a fascinating read. Let me summarize what we've done here. By the way, there are other ramifications for this that I'm going to get into, God willing, in future weeks with this. Among them, who gets to do One question is, what if it's the father versus the son? Each one wants to do the bris. Who gets the right to do it? The issue of what if someone does without the father's knowledge is another one that we mentioned. The obligation to hire somebody who has to pay the moel. And then, a very interesting practical one, I mean, all those cases seem a little bit odd, like, are those really going to happen? But the very practical one is, do you say bracha v'lachniso b'briso? Does the father say the bracha or not, if his kid's an adult? So that's another very practical one. I only noted it at the end of my notes, or I would have said it in the beginning. But to review, we said, based on the Gemara in Kiddushin, that the father is obligated to give his kid a bris. The Rambam codified it as halacha in the beginning of Hilchos Milah. We saw it in the Sefer HaChinuch as well. The first question we asked was, what happens after day 8 while the child is still a minor? We showed that the Rambam says the father can't bring the Karban Pesach if his minor children don't have a bris. The Minchas Chinuch explains it and says it's from that Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos said that if your kid was already 8 days old but you couldn't do the bris on Erev Pesach, and then you're obligated that night, you can't eat the Karban Pesach. So that shows your obligation extends even into day 9. That was the Menachas Chinuch's attempt at proof. However, the Tzitz Eliezer says the fact that you're obligated for your kid's bris as far as Karban Pesach doesn't mean you have a general obligation of give your kid a bris. It could be that for Karban Pesach there's a unique rule. You want to bring the Karban Pesach, all the members of your household need a bris. Even if you wouldn't ordinarily be obligated. And he proved it from the Gemara in Yevamos that said that the mother also can't eat the Karban Pesach, even though she never has an obligation of bris for her kid. So that was stage 1. And then stage 2, what happens when he becomes an adult? Yes?
If you have a situation where you're mechuyav the mother of Karban Pesach, that she can't eat the Karban Pesach without the child being moel, if she gives the mila, is that kosher for the other mitzvah as well?
If she can do a kosher bris milah, why not? In other words, the standard for both mitzvahs is still a kosher bris milah.
If a goy does a milah,
we'll have to get to it.
In other words, someone does a milah that's not mitzvah.
Right.
Is it a kosher milah or not?
Right, so we have to get back, in terms of the non-Jew, you have to ask the question about whether kavana is an issue for bris. Okay. But in general, that's a question we have to address still. But the answer would be the same whether we're talking about bris for the sake of Karban Pesach or bris for the sake of fulfilling your personal obligation. There will be no distinction. It won't matter. The same rules will pertain. But the answer is she can do a bris.
Yeah. Also, the question is also whether the mitzvah is to do a mila or that he shouldn't be an oral.
Correct. And we'll see a little more about that also. We'll talk about that when you get to the Tumtum and Androgynous discussion. And now they make it back into every mitzvah. And the second phase is, what about when he becomes a gadol? We saw the Yerushalmi, which the Karban HaEda explained, to say, you can't compel your kid to get a bris once he's an adult. That sounds like it's very clear, your obligation ends. The Rambam's language in Mishneh Torah sounded like it ended. He said that once the kid becomes an adult, he is obligated. His language in his commentary to the Mishnah was split. And the Tzitz Eliezer, after one abortive attempt to answer the question by a funny read of the Rambam, ends up saying that the Rambam believes that the father is obligated even when the kid grows up. The obligation does indeed continue. The Minchas Chinuch argued that the Menachas Chinuch argued that it certainly does extend. Number one, because it's linked to the obligation to marry off your kid, which is in adulthood. And number two, because of this Zman Grama discussion, for the fact that we don't consider it a mitzvah sasesha as Zman Grama, obviously it extends forever. Tzitz Eliezer disagreed and said that wouldn't be a Zman Grama anyway. Even if it was limited by him turning bar mitzvah, that wouldn't be called Zman Grama. That's it in a nutshell. Shkach. Yeah. And well, then we continue next week.